Welcome to Civics Daily. I'm your host, Patrick Hobble. Today is Tuesday, September 19th. Running a little bit late. It is my 8-year-old's birthday, so we went ahead and did some things, hung out, did some baseball. Today on the show, Hunter Biden pleads not guilty. I'll explain why he's doing that, and it isn't because he is not guilty. Also, we have Merrick Garland going in front of Congress tomorrow to testify. This is a big deal. We're going to break it down. What should they ask him? What should we expect? He is the mob lawyer. We'll talk about the attorney general, what his roles are. Also, we're going to start the show with a little bit of history today. George Washington warned us about this. He warned us about the parties. He actually resigned because of it. We will break it down. And lastly, the biggest news of the day. A Bob Ross painting sold for $9.8 million. We're going to talk about all of it today on Civics Daily. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Patrick Hobbled. It is my 8-year-old's, was 7, now 8. Happy birthday, young man. He doesn't listen to the show. But if he did, he would be well educated. Kids need to know this stuff today. They need to know all of these right-wing, left-wing political nonsense. They need to know that their president is a criminal. They need to know that the attorney general is a criminal. They need to know these things. They need to know that these people are using everything and anything to keep their power and take away your rights. Evidence everywhere today. I'm going to do some headlines first, though. I'm going to start with the most important. Like I said, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do, I will go down to the Bob Ross channel. Even my kids like this now, and we watch because he is the most amazing painter at trees I've ever seen. I don't understand how anybody could be much better. You know, I would like to put Bob Ross next to Michelangelo. You can call me crazy. I'm not an art guy. I don't know anything about art, and I still draw stick figures. But if you lined up Bob Ross and said draw trees next to Michelangelo, I would like to think he would give them a run for that. There's got to be a run for the money there. How could it not be? That guy in trees is absolutely amazing. I'm a dork when it comes to stuff like this. I can watch it. I could watch 4 episodes of Bob Ross in a row. Now, the girlfriend hates me for it. My kids are so annoyed when I do it. But he's always painting something, and I'm like, just wait for the trees, just wait for the trees. And he gets to the trees, and even my kids get mesmerized by the way he draws trees. But that being said, I'm a little bit of a dork for you right there. There was a signed piece by Bob Ross from the first episode of his popular TV show, The Joy of Painting, which is the one I always watch. And it sold for $9.8 million at an auction house in Minneapolis today. That's what I'm talking about. That's well spent. $9.8 million well spent. It was called A Walk in the Woods. It was created in 83. I was 1. That dude was awesome. And that's how I wanted to start the show today. And Bob Ross. Now to the real stuff. George Washington. I want us to go back to the beginning here. George Washington was one of the greatest founding fathers. Right? I don't think he sought fame and glory. Right, but as the most trusted American, he kept calling back to duty. Though, I'm not a history expert. I do know this. Right, he spent awful winters, 2 awful winters, I think, with the Continental Army. Near starvation. This was the president. You think about today, president. You think about then, president. He was with the army. Starving. Washington had the most difficult time getting money from Congress for that army. But when he visited Philadelphia, he found that the Continental Congress was going to parties, lavish parties, every weekend, right? And after independence, he was called back to the chair, or to chair the committee that wrote the Constitution and to serve the first 2 terms as president. And so as president, he set precedents, showing the limited power of his office. And in his second term, the gracious founding fathers split into 2 parties. Hamilton and Madison, who had written the Federalist Papers, Each bought newspapers to sling mud at the party, very similar to today. Jefferson and Adams were friends in France during the Revolution, but Adams did not take it well when he lost his reelection campaign to Jefferson. So Adams appointed a Federalist Chief Justice of the Supreme Court weeks before Jefferson was sworn into office. He also did not attend the swearing-in of Jefferson. And Washington was so distressed by the rancor that he wrote this warning in his farewell address. And I quote, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." God, I wish people talk like that still. I'll continue. "But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation and the ruins of public liberty." You can go back and rewind it on that and listen to that again if you're driving or it's your computer. Literally, just get away from everybody and rewind that and go listen to what I just said. Take notes, break it down, think about it. First and foremost, that is beautiful language. Forget what it means. That is well-educated, beautiful language. Secondly, he is basically resigning because of the bull that the parties are. They were then and they are today. The divide. He's basically saying if you split into parties, you're going to seek yourself, your power, individualism, your party's power over the nation, and I won't have a part of it. And he stepped down. You imagine a president today that said, "The hell with y'all. I'm stepping down." Somebody would give up power. You'd have to leave your party. You'd have to bash your party and the other party and step down out of power. In order to get there, you'd have to pledge allegiance to a party. So that would piss off. It just wouldn't work today. He was first and he saw it and he stepped down. He said, "I'm not participating." Today's the anniversary that he said that, back in 1776. So I just wanted to bring that up today. Because here we are. Hunter Biden, President Joe Biden's son, will reportedly plead not guilty to federal gun charges, his lawyers said in a new court filing today. This is from the Daily Wire. Hunter Biden's legal team requested in the Tuesday letter to the court that he be allowed to make his initial appearance in court via a video call. Mr. Biden will also enter a plea of not guilty, and there is no reason why he cannot utter those two words by video conference, his lawyers said. Lowell also argued that a video conference should be allowed because Hunter Biden's Secret Service protection would mean that numerous agents and vehicles are required for what would have to be a two-day event. They have no problem bringing Trump in for all these things, but this is going to be a big deal, apparently. We can't do that. Why does he need Secret Service? Let me tell you why this is ridiculous. First of all, he wrote a book, a memoir, where he said, "I was doing cocaine. I was doing crack every day." In his autobiography, he wrote a book that said, "I was doing crack every day." I think he went as so far to say that it was specific dates in which he filled out a gun form to buy a gun, lied on the federal form, which is a felony, got the gun. When getting arrested or some sort of the cops came or something, he threw the gun, or his brother's widow, who he was sleeping with, threw the gun somewhere near a school in a dumpster. Obviously, it was found, like morons. And so he's guilty. This has nothing to do with Joe Biden. This one is straight guilty. You are straight guilty, and there's no denying it. Every piece of evidence says that you are guilty. Okay. However, if you plead not guilty and then ask for a continuance, you might get it all the way down to a position where your daddy can pardon you because he really only has to get to January next year. You do a trial, you could stall it out. Obviously, these things take a year, maybe more. And a year from now, after you set the trial, you plead not guilty, they're going to set the jury, they're going to drag it out, and he's going to get all the way to January. Then he's going to plead guilty. Then he's going to get pardoned. This is how this works. And so he's still playing the daddy card. And that's how that's going to go. Really, I would bet my life on that one. That's easy. We also have Massachusetts. What a wonderful state, although I've only been once. They are adopting a new sex education guideline for schools to be more inclusive to LGBTQ plus community members. For the first time since 1999, the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education will adopt a new set of curriculum frameworks for school children from K through 12. You would think that this is not news anymore. I mean, a lot of states are doing this. However, this is exactly why personal politics needs to stay out of politics. Governor Maura Healey, the nation's first openly lesbian governor, is pushing this decision. She is celebrating this decision, and she said this is for the betterment of all people. You just think about that for a second. Replace open lesbian with KKK member. If you think about it, there's no difference. It's your belief. It's a group you choose to belong to. You have freedom of speech in this country. You can join whatever group you want. Literally, any group. It doesn't have to be KKK. It could be the Black Panthers. It could be any group at all. Okay? White nationalist. Oh, it doesn't even have to be race. It could be, obviously, it could be, you know, some sort of like satanic cult. It could be religious. It doesn't really matter. But this governor is openly lesbian, and she is pushing her open lesbian beliefs onto the entire state. I have a huge problem with that. Not because it's lesbian, just because it's her beliefs. If you live in Massachusetts, you got to swallow all that. Whatever she's given, you got to take it. And if she was part of another group, you shouldn't be able to discriminate. So in theory, to be fair, if there's a governor who's in the KKK, they should be able to push that group. If she's pushing her group, then anybody should be able to push their group. And nobody should be able to kick back. It's not really news. I just thought that was an interesting take I had on that. That brings me to my main story today. Which is Joe Biden. The other day, Joe Biden was on the biggest stage a president could have. And this is not getting reported in the media because there's just too much of this in the media. And it just makes it a little worse. If he goes to a union and he says something and he falls on his face, or if he goes to, I don't know, goes to a restaurant and makes an impromptu speech or does something in the White House, some speech, or says something with some media person on CNN, it just sort of gets, oh, he's old and he's feeble. This was on the world stage. This was the UN. This is every major leader of every country in the world. And from what I read, most of the major countries weren't even there for his speech. They didn't even show up for his speech, which is sort of a diss. This is a diss to the face. Just a slap to the face. So he was basically speaking in front of a room of half people. And this is one of the things he said. And I want you to try to figure this out.
This war. Russia alone has the power to end this war immediately. And it's Russia alone that stands in the way of peace, because the Russia's price for peace is Ukraine's capitulation.
What?
Ukraine's territory and Ukraine's children.
What?
Russia believes that the world will grow weary and allow it to brutalize Ukraine without consequence. But I ask you this.
I ask you this.
If we abandon the core principles of the United States to appease an aggressor.
To a what?
Can any member state in this body feel confident that they are protected? If you allow Ukraine to be carved up, is the independence of any nation secure? I'd respectfully suggest the answer is no.
What are you talking about?
We have to stand up to this naked aggression today and deter other would-be aggressors tomorrow. That's why the United States, together with our allies and partners around the world, will continue to stand with the brave people of Ukraine as they defend their sovereignty and territorial integrity.
I'm sorry, what? That's it. Like, what is he? He's just rambling. And then he raises his voice and yells. I don't know. And I have a capitulation. And it doesn't make sense because you're using an adjective where it doesn't really make sense. You got to really focus. And then I'm going to raise my voice. That's our president, ladies and gentlemen. That is our president on the world stage. It was an embarrassment. Let's be real. That's absolutely embarrassment. Without a doubt. You know what else he said? So he did that, but he also did this, because when he came to a fundraiser in New York City, he did the classic leftist point the finger, which is really pointing in the mirror. And he warned that Donald Trump and other MAGA Republicans are determined to destroy democracy. He blasted former President Trump at a fundraiser in New York City. I guess it was Monday. Okay. And he said, I'm running because democracy is at stake. Okay. That's not why you're running. That's why Trump is running. You're running to hide your corruption and keep making millions. Democracy is on the ballot once again, he said, adding that if he is reelected, we will have saved American democracy. And let there be no question, Donald Trump and his MAGA Republicans are determined to destroy American democracy. This is the leftist way. This is the way, right? Mandalorian style. This is the leftist way. If a leftist says it and they're pointing at somebody like that, if they're accusing you, then they're really accusing themselves. Biden said, and I will always defend, protect, and fight for our democracy. Flip it. No. The whole show yesterday proved they are not fighting for your democracy. They are trying to take your rights. They are not protecting you. They are not defending you. They will not fight for you. They will fight to remove your rights, censor you, take your money, put it all on a digital currency, trick you into things like using Amazon PayPal, where you pay with your fingerprints, but this is just so they can track you and do their digital currency so they can get more taxes. And that's just the beginning, people. Biden also drew a contrast between how he views Russian Vladimir Putin and how Trump does. He said, I will not side with dictators like Putin. And maybe Trump and his MAGA friends can bow down, but I won't, Biden said. It's absolutely ridiculous that he's up there now, and now he's campaigning, because he's pretty sure that Trump's going to win the primary. Even Trump in his answers with Kristen Welker, a joke of an interview, by the way. I don't know if you heard it. I haven't even played a clip of it because it's so ridiculous. Bongino did his whole show. Dan Bongino did his whole show today on that specific interview. And it's a great show. I love his show. But it's just a joke. But he's answering questions now when asked, what is a woman or can a man be a woman, et cetera, et cetera. He's answering in a very general election way. He's not siding with his party anymore. He's trying to appease as many people as possible without alienating anybody. And so you could tell by his answers, it's very general election style. Right. And so here comes Biden with his general election style where he's going to have to start bashing Trump. Now, I don't think he'll debate, but this is about as far as Joe will go, where he accuses Trump of things, but he's really guilty himself. The crime of all leftist Democrats is hypocrisy. You can see it in any scandal, right? Any sex scandal, any Lauren Boebert fondling at a musical theater show. The crime is not the fondling, because they all do it. That's not the crime. The crime is the hypocrisy of it. And so just like this, the crime is not the running for the democracy, right? Like him saying that he's running for democracy. He's really not. He's running to hide his criminal crime family, right? But the crime is the hypocrisy, meaning like the reason they get so upset when there is hypocrisy is because they are always guilty of hypocrisy. They know that what they're doing, what they're accusing others of, is what they're doing. Therefore, in their mind, the biggest crime of all is hypocrisy. And so anytime a Republican can be caught on some sort of hypocrisy, like Lauren Boebert sex scandal thing, she's going through a divorce, she was fondling some dude at the thing, got kicked out. I said yesterday I thought the cameras were conveniently placed too conveniently. All that aside, right, she's dating a Democrat bar owner who does drag shows at his bar. And Boebert has been openly spoken about getting rid of Drag Time Story Hour in elementary schools and all the trans bills and whatnot. So the hypocrisy there is that she's dating somebody who does that, and the Democrats just lose their mind. They're not upset that she was fondling somebody. Like, let's just get that real. How dare a congresswoman like cross these boundaries and like act like this and wear these things and smoke and vape in public and get kicked out of a show? That's not the crime. The crime is that you support this, but you're doing this. Like, that's the crime. It's the hypocrisy of it. And so when Biden is accusing Trump of things, they're seeing the hypocrisy. This is what, because that's what they do. Speaking of hypocrisy, tomorrow on Capitol Hill. Tomorrow on Capitol Hill, Merrick Garland, Attorney General Merrick Garland, is going to testify before the House Judiciary Committee at 9 a.m. I want to put this into perspective for you, right? He's expected to outline the work of the Justice Department during the testimony. Of his testimony in front of the committee. This is obtained by Fox News Digital. Garland showed the document, according to a document. But Garland showed this document with the committee lawmakers ahead of the 10 a.m. meeting Wednesday. He showed it today. Looking into how the DOJ has become politicized and weaponized under his leadership. This document made no mention of the allegations against the DOJ concerning its handling of the investigation into Hunter Biden and being influenced by politics. The Attorney General is expected to face extremely difficult questions from Republicans on the committee pertaining to this investigation. Garland said, "When I began my tenure as Attorney General, I said it would be my mission to reaffirm the norms that have guided the Justice Department for over 40 years. Since then, the Justice Department has reinforced and, where appropriate, updated and strengthened policies that are foundational for longstanding department norms," the document said. The document goes on to tout the work that he says the DOJ has done to protect democracy and the public. Now, this is where we differ. This is that line. I'm going to read that again. The document that Garland is bringing to this testimony goes on to tout the work that he says the DOJ has done to protect democracy and the public. Also, build trust with law enforcement and crack down on various types of crime. Let's put this in perspective. Remember, this is the same administration that was arguing that your First Amendment right is detrimental to national security. This is the same administration that is arguing that your First Amendment right is detrimental to public health. It isn't. The First Amendment right is not detrimental to national security or public health. It is not that. It is detrimental to people making money, to people controlling the narrative. Big Pharma cannot push their vaccines and make billions if everybody is aware that they don't work. So you must control that narrative, right? You must be compliant. The World Economic Forum has said numerous times that they are interested in how they can control everybody through uniform crises, pandemics, if you will. And they got everybody in the world to wear a mask, basically. And they can't have any information out there saying you shouldn't wear one. That is detrimental to the national security of our nation, but mainly the public safety of our nation. Now, the document that he has says that the DOJ has done all of this work to protect the democracy and the public. It's a matter of perspective. You have to remember who he works for. Merrick Garland has signed every indictment against Trump. Merrick Garland has signed every indictment against every January 6th rioter. Merrick Garland has signed every indictment against anybody in the RICO charges in Georgia in Trump's case. Walt Nauta in the Florida case. Merrick Garland is the mob lawyer, the consigliere from The Godfather. He is doing the dirty work. He is the man. He is the guy. He is Robert Duvall from the movie Godfather. He is Tom Hagen. Please understand that. What is the Attorney General's job? Let's ask AI. Not to mention, I know it anyway, but just to double check, this left-leaning AI, ChatGPT, says the Attorney General represents the United States in legal matters and provides advice and opinions to the president directly and to different heads of the executive departments of the government when so requested. He is the leader of the executive branch legal matters. If the president, who is his boss, says, I want to indict my political opponent, if he wants to keep his job, he says, yes, sir. Please understand, this is how it works. When you get up to that high corporate stuff, and I've done this, I worked for an extremely wealthy CEO who owned multiple businesses, 30 plus businesses in the United States, another like 13 overseas, and he basically was the CEO of all of them. This was high-rise buildings. This was glass offices. It was like the show Suits with the glass doors. Everybody had to dress up. It was clean as hell. Everybody that walked by was like in corporate suits and this and that. I mean, it was law firm over here, law firm over there, architecture firm over here. And I'm in this area. And you hear people talking. And everybody knows the boss of your boss in that situation, in the corporate setting. And if the corporate setting, which the government is that, it's the executive branch, it's very corporate, right? Everybody's in suits and ties, this and this. And if he says, hey, I want this, then you just do it. You don't question it, or they get somebody else. And it goes all the way up to the top. It goes all the way up to the top. I mean, really, this is it. The president went to his attorney general and said, I want to indict him. And Merrick Garland said, yes, sir. And we're going to politically prosecute or persecute anybody else in this realm because I have to win power in this and this. And you know he said it. This is why Vivek, back when he was running like months ago and they indicted Trump for the first time, he said, I'm filing a Freedom of Information Act to find out what Biden said to Merrick Garland and what Merrick Garland said to Joe Biden. And David Weiss, because he was the assistant attorney general. He wanted to know the communication between those three. It's the very first question Vivek asked, and it's the very first question any media journalist ethically should ask. What was said between these people? So not only is the attorney general responsible for legal representation, he is responsible for the supervision of litigation and directs the administration and operation of all offices, boards, divisions, and bureaus that compromise the Department of Justice. This is the FBI. This is all of it. All of the alphabet soup. Any sort of criminal activity, he oversees all the boards, the divisions, and the bureaus. And they use each one differently as a different weapon. He oversees all federal litigation, ensuring that all federal laws are enforced. Or in this case, hidden and not enforced for Hunter Biden. He also oversees direct enforcement of federal laws, working extremely close with the FBI and other law enforcement agencies. He does policy advisory on legal policy matters, helping to formulate and implement policies related to crime prevention. He's failing. All blue cities are getting rampantly run over with retail crime. The border is a mess, right? He's in charge of interagency coordination. He gives guidance and legal opinions to any federal judge and or federal prosecutor. He's responsible for the leadership and management of all U.S. attorneys. He implements legislative initiatives, and he does public communications, but he doesn't. He barely speaks at all. These are just a few of the jobs that he does. And so he is going, and this is it. He is going to be questioned by the House of Representatives. And should Garland start to unravel portions of the Protect Biden plot, if the attorney general continues to stonewall the probe, he should expect to face his own impeachment inquiry. Now, news of the day, the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden starts next Thursday. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. Okay? And if Garland is going to stonewall, which this typically happens in front of the House of Representatives, he's going to get up there, they're going to ask him a question, he's going to say, I can't answer in the name of national security. I can't answer. I don't have that. It's an ongoing investigation. I can't answer this. It's a special counsel. I can't. It's only up to the special counsel, which is exactly why they appointed David Weiss a special counsel again. So Merrick Garland is going to go up in front of there. They're going to ask about Hunter Biden. And since Hunter Biden is under investigation by a special counsel named David Weiss, who has had him for 5+ years already, and he's basically let the statute of limitations expire on every single thing. They've only indicted him on the gun charges, which we started the show with. He's going to plead not guilty. But he's only going to plead not guilty to draw it out so that he could get pardoned by his daddy. This is all super clear. I'm not even an expert on these things, but I am promising you this is the only way that this is going down. Hunter Biden said, I'm pleading not guilty so that he can get the jury selection and the trial and then ask for a continuance. Maybe he gets sick. Maybe he has to travel. Maybe his dad is ill and he can't make it. Whatever it is, he's going to make it all the way to January, get pardoned. And then right before that, he'll plead guilty and then get pardoned without having ever to do anything. And then he'll go off into the oblivion and he'll have to retire. He'll literally be done. He's making all the millions of dollars he can now, and then he's done working after this because his daddy won't have any influence. Okay, but in the congressional hearings, and this will be great, the judiciary hearing is spectacular. You have Josh Hawley, you have Ted Cruz, all these great lawyers. They are going to rip him apart. And he's just going to stonewall him. He's not going to answer. He's basically going to take an ass beating. And then they'll try to impeach him as well. He's scheduled to testify at 10 a.m. This will be his first congressional appearance since an IRS whistleblower called into question his claim that U.S. Attorney David Weiss had ultimate charging authority over Hunter Biden. That's what I was trying to say. Right? And I think I know which way they should go. Right? And I think they should start with a series of direct questions to the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, focused on aspects of the Hunter Biden investigation before confronting Garland at all with any inconsistencies between his prior statements and Weiss. Because basically what happened was Weiss said he had no authority. Garland said he had all authority. And so you got him in a lie right there. Somebody's lying. It's either Weiss or Garland. And so they don't have their story straight, but I bet they do. They've probably met multiple times to try to get this right. Right? And the whistleblowers came out and said, all this is bull, right? I think they should specifically ask, what, if anything, did Garland say to Weiss about how the investigation should be run? This is what Vivek said months ago. I'm telling you. What was said between Biden and Garland and then Garland and Weiss? Freedom of Information Act, get it all out there. Did Garland directly communicate with Weiss? When and how often did this occur? Did the Attorney General instead assign an assistant Attorney General to interact with Weiss? If anybody, who is it? When was it? What specific authority or concerns did Weiss discuss with Garland or his assistant Attorney General? These are very simple questions I think you should start with. And I have faith with Ted Cruz on the Judiciary Committee and definitely Josh Hawley, who I have a man crush on, only because I think he's an incredible lawyer. The guy has won in the Supreme Court more than any other lawyer. He's basically the nation's top constitutional lawyer. If you go Google Josh Hawley of Missouri in any sort of hearing, he just obliterates anybody. Any judge, any federal judge, because they all have to sit in front of him, right? Any sort of anybody pushing a trans agenda, anybody pushing a racial agenda, he literally rips them apart. It's some of the best video rabbit hole going down the YouTube rabbit hole of you could watch anybody do. He asks so many simple questions and he just obliterates people with logic. And I think he's going to run for president in about 8 years. He's out of Missouri. And I just love watching him tear people up. It's absolutely wonderful. Ted Cruz does it. He just gets a little more mad while he does it. Josh Hawley remains so calm when he does it. And he's got a great voice. And I think he'd be a spectacular president. But to keep asking questions, which I know they will, these are just questions that I would have asked. This one's the $5 million question. Did Weiss ever discuss special attorney or special counsel status? If so, when? And then a follow-up to that, which seems exceedingly appropriate for this situation, when did Garland first provide Weiss with authority to prosecute Hunter Biden in other districts? You've got to ask that. And of course, we know the answer to that is when Garland named Weiss special counsel. But having the Attorney General confirm that reality and sworn testimony provides a nice segue to drill Garland on this prior inconsistent statement. Right? And I think it could go along the lines of, General Garland, you told Senator Chuck Grassley on March 1st, 2023, quote, the U.S. attorney in Delaware has been advised that he has full authority to bring cases in other jurisdictions if he feels it's necessary, but that's not true, is it? Weiss didn't have full authority until after you named him special counsel, correct? Something like that. And then see what he says. Obviously, he's going to say, well, we have special counsel and I can't answer due to national security. And no. He's going to claim national security because if he exposes any of this stuff, it exposes Joe Biden. So he literally can say, he can straight up say national security because he doesn't want to expose his boss. He can also argue that it's under special counsel and then he can't say because it's under investigation. He has the same ace card in his pocket as Hunter Biden does, where he can just extend this out over a year. He can complain that he needs to get a continuance and this and this. It's going to require me more time to get these documents, et cetera, et cetera. And then hopefully he can get pardoned as well. Because he's going to stonewall and then he's going to be under investigation for inquiry as well. Right. And so beyond Weiss's charging authority, I think it's important to understand that investigative authority, the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office held. Okay. It was the Maine justice who updated on the investigation. Did Maine justice provide oversight to the investigation? How much did they provide? Did the Delaware U.S. Attorney's Office need to seek approval from the Maine justice on anything? If so, on what? And from whom? Who decided that the Maine justice would provide oversight for the Hunter Biden investigation? Was Garland informed of Maine justice's involvement in this investigation? When? And if Maine justice was involved in the oversight, didn't that interfere in the supposed independence of Weiss? I think the House Judiciary Committee should also ask Garland about what, if anything, he told other Biden-appointed U.S. attorneys. Did Garland discuss the Hunter Biden investigation with Matthew Graves, which is the D.C. U.S. attorney? And or Martin Estrada, the U.S. attorney for the Central District of California? Did he direct those offices to partner with Weiss? Did Garland know Weiss he wanted to partner with those offices? Did he know those offices had denied Weiss's request for them to bring charges against Hunter? When and how did Garland first learn of Weiss's interest in bringing charges in California and or D.C.? And without a doubt, Merrick Garland should be quizzed and hammered for his communications with FBI Director Christopher Wray, who absolutely bombed his congressional hearing concerning the whole entire role of the FBI headquarters, should or shouldn't have gotten involved in the Hunter Biden investigation. Did Garland and Wray discuss the Hunter Biden investigation? Did Garland allow Wray to decide the propriety of involving FBI headquarters in the investigation? Did Garland know Christopher Wray had permitted FBI headquarters to participate in the investigation and or decision-making? Maybe I should ask all these questions. You've got to connect the line of questioning with Garland's prior testimony to the Senate Appropriations back in April, I think it was. Then you've got to take the Attorney General in response to a question by Senator Bill Hagerty, who claimed Weiss was supervising the investigation. So you got evidence from all these other people, but you've got to connect it all. It has to be connected, and then you've got to put Merrick Garland's feet on the fire. And he's going to try to avoid it the entire time. This is why somebody like Josh Hawley is perfect for this. Granted, they only get 5 minutes. So a lot of times they like to coordinate and give time back to Josh Hawley. Everybody who's a Republican usually gives some more time to Josh Hawley because he's so good at this. He gets more time, and that's like the worst thing you want if you're getting grilled by these guys. You don't want Cruz and you don't want Hawley. You want the Democrat guys who are just going to basically do nothing. Because like George Washington said, you will put party before nation. So beyond uncovering the details of this investigation, which we should see tomorrow, the Judiciary Committee should clarify three aspects of the continuing investigation. I think first, Garland should be quizzed on the limits of Weiss's authority. How can Weiss possibly serve in that role and continue as U.S. attorney? It's definitely a conflict of interest. I'm not a lawyer, but I know that. So why did Garland not appoint an outsider? As the regulations require, it's literally in their handbook that says you must appoint an outsider, but he never did. So you answer that one. He's got to answer that one. He can't claim national security on that one. Maybe the answer is Joe Biden told him so, and he will claim national security. He's going to stonewall. What resources did you request, Mr. Weiss? Right? I don't think Merrick Garland can answer for Mr. Weiss, but you see why I'm not a lawyer now. Was Weiss staffing up an entirely separate office, and is that office investigating individuals beyond Hunter Biden? Very likely. Donald Trump. The second one they really got to hit is Garland should be questioned about the DOJ's policies and whether he maintained the policy for former Attorney General William Barr, which is Trump's Attorney General, put in place about launching an investigation against a presidential candidate. Right? I just think this is so easy to ask. There's so much crap out there You just got to untangle it and then ask it in an order where they're going to fall on their face. And you got to ask it in an order that they cannot stonewall you. Keep it simple, black and white, make them answer. And then every time they choose not to answer, they'll just get exposed. Third, the Judiciary Committee should obtain assurances from Garland that the DOJ will cooperate in the House's impeachment inquiry. So we got Joe Biden coming up for the inquiry. We got the DOJ that should cooperate and give us anything we want. You get him on record saying that you can give them anything they want. Now, they're going to be hesitant to say these things, but you've got to hammer it. You literally have to hammer this. Joe Biden could get impeached a lot easier based on what happens tomorrow, which is why I'm interested. I don't think it's going to be big. Every time I get excited about a congressional hearing, I get let down, right? Everybody just stonewalls. People don't really do anything. It just sort of goes away and then it sort of goes around in circles. Right. And so Merrick Garland is definitely unlikely to agree to such a request. However, hedging it with claims of protecting an ongoing investigation, that's what he's going to do. Right. But that would mean there is an ongoing investigation into the president. I'm going to say that again. Do you see what I'm saying? I think the committee's got to obtain assurances from Garland that the DOJ is going to cooperate in this impeachment inquiry of Biden and not withhold any information or evidence. And because Merrick Garland is unlikely to agree to this, he's probably going to say, it's an ongoing investigation and I cannot answer. However, that would mean that there is an ongoing investigation into the president. And so that's good. But even if there was such that investigation, it doesn't limit the House's equal authority to conduct this impeachment inquiry into the president. That's only half the scandal, right? The second half of this scandal, the biggest part of all, and I hope you've made it all the way to this 47th minute of the show. The second half of this is the DOJ and the FBI's cover-up. That is the other half. The first part is Biden being a criminal, but just as bad is the DOJ and the mob boss himself, Joe Biden and his consigliere, Tom Hagen, a.k.a. Merrick Garland. So the questioning tomorrow should start to unravel the Protect Biden plot. Okay, but if the Attorney General continues to stonewall the probe, then he should expect his own impeachment inquiry. And that's where we're going to leave it at that. So pay attention to that tomorrow. Should be good. Should be good. There's a great article in The Federalist, which I sort of got a lot of the information I just said via Federalist, so shout out to them. So it's a great, great news source. But they had me dying laughing. They have a full list on there today. They have a full list of every lie Joe Biden has ever told as president, and they're up to 249. They have everything dated. I mean, somebody worked on that. Somebody worked on that. He just lied again. He said he taught 4 years at the University of Pennsylvania teaching political theory. He said that at a event in front of people. None of it is true. Absolutely none of it is true. But Joe Biden said the other day, and I don't even have the clip because I just shook my head when I saw it. He just said, oh, I taught 4 years political theory at at the University of Penn. Like, none of it's true. Like, none of it. Just making up. Making it up. Let's end on a good note. NASA scientists are predicting a chance that an asteroid will strike the Earth in the near future. Yikes. They discovered it in September 1999, and they say that it is definitely on a collision course for the year 2182. Well, I'll be long gone, so I don't care about that. And my kids will too, so I don't really care about that either. And speaking of yesterday, since we traded 5 for 5, the 5 for 5 deal with Iran. I'm sorry, it wasn't 5 for 5. It was 5 people for 5 people. However, when we gave our 5 people back to Iran, we also gave them $6 billion. Okay? Now, Iran's claiming they can do whatever the hell they want with the money. Our lying administration, who has a history of lying and tons of lies, right? All 249 of them listed from President Biden alone. That's not his administration. That's just him. They're saying that They can only use it for humanitarian purposes. However, since money is fungible, if you get $6 billion, then you save $6 billion elsewhere. Right? And so if I have $1 million in my bank account and somebody else gives me $6 billion, well then, and I can use it for, and I was using my money for humanitarian aid. Now, when you give me money for humanitarian aid, that now I can have my money. I don't have to spend it on humanitarian aid. So I don't care what they say. You're giving a terroristic organization $6 billion. And because of that, the State Department came out today with 20 countries not to go to, with Iran being on the first of the list. I wonder why. Maybe it's because if they capture you, they'll expect more money. Because we like to negotiate with terrorists now. So that's great news. Great job, U.S. government. Spectacular. And you iPhone users out there, because anybody that uses Android is weird to me. You have, when's it coming out? I don't even have a date on this. I'm scrolling. When is it out? It rolls out September 18th at 10 a.m. Oh, that was yesterday. Shows you how I look at my phone all the time. It's, maybe that's why it says update not complete. You have new iOS 17 features. You get interactive widgets. You get standby mode where it like can like turn your phone into a clock. That's pretty cool. You get better autocorrect, finally. Here's how I do autocorrect. When I speak text, I never reread it. I just send what I send. Right? And if I say duck instead of the F word, I say duck. Like, I don't care. I think you can, you know what I'm saying. So I never go back and check. I never go back and edit ever. Literally ever. You also now can FaceTime on Apple TV. That's great because I have two Apple TVs. You have a new improved Siri. Hopefully they've tied that to ChatGPT. We'll see. You can go maps offline now. I don't know what name drop means. You can like tap phones. That was a bump thing back in the day with an app. You can just tap phones. What else do you get? You get better search filters. I sort of like the idea of FaceTime on the TV. I don't know why I like that. Airplane your hotel room. That's finally, I mean, we've had that for a second. What else we got? We have, oh, view and markup PDFs on your notes. That might work for me. Pretty good. Oh, and the coolest one of all, cat and dog recognition photos. So there you go. And what else we got? Anything else? We got nothing else. Brings me to the end of the show. Just double checking. Nope, that should do it. Well, what else we got today? So let's pay attention to the Merrick Garland testimony tomorrow. Other than that, it's a pretty slow news day. I still haven't got to the Russell Brand stuff with the Andrew Tate stuff and a couple other things. They did it again. There was one concerning story that I didn't even put in the show today, and it was about the man who inspired The Sound of Freedom, the sex trafficking movie, right? His name was Tim Ballard, and he's sort of a hero. Although the movie glorified a couple things that wasn't true, for the most part, the story was true. It was based around a true story. There was an island raid, right? He got all these people out. He was looking for the one kid. The way they found him was true, and all these other things are true within the story. I don't think he ever killed anybody, but he was shot at. He did save a bunch of kids, and that was the inspiration behind the movie. However, Russell Brand, who speaks out against Big Pharma, seems to be getting accused of sexual misconduct. However, Tim Ballard, who inspired The Sound of Freedom, also today, via left media, LA Times, is accused of sexual misconduct as well, saying while searching for children overseas, he convinced women in there who were trying to infiltrate the circles that they needed to shower together and to act the part and to do the thing. And so I'm skeptical that the two men accused here, Russell Brand and Tim Ballard, both have agendas that are not on the left side. I'm obviously there's evidence involved. If there's a girl that is saying this and she has evidence to back it up, and then you got to go with that. But everybody should be innocent until proven guilty. And so we're going to follow these stories over the next few days. And we got, once again, like I said, Merrick Garland doing his thing tomorrow. So we shall see. Thank you for joining today. My name is Patrick Hobbled, and this has been Civics Daily. And you know what? I think I'm going to do a little theme song change. That song was so good yesterday. I think we're going to start ending with that one or starting with it. I don't know. I'm going to do a revamp on a couple of these things. But that being said, this is All the Wrong Reasons by Tom Petty. You guys have a wonderful night. We'll be right back.